Sactown Sports
Headlines.
With your Sactown Sports Headlines, I'm Simone Rickford. With the final week of January upon us, it's Championship Sunday in the NFL. The 49ers will look to get back to their second Super Bowl in 4 years as they travel to Philly to take on the Eagles at noon. And the Bengals and Chiefs will square up for the AFC title game starting at 3:30. Coverage of Championship Sunday begins at 11 right here on Sactown Sports, your local sports leader. The Sacramento Kings will begin a 7-game roadie with a trip to Minnesota tomorrow night to square off with the Timberwolves. After Wednesday's loss, the Kings have notched a 27-20 record and remain first in the Pacific Division and third in the Western Conference. All of your coverage starts at 3:30 with game night, also right here on Sactown Sports. I'm Simone. Those are your headlines. Who do you got? Eagles D or Niners offense? Let's get into it on Cattles and Rami.
Live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles
and Rami
on Sactown Sports.
Joe Giroux, YouTube.com, Sactown Sports 1140, our guy Joe. Facial cream and aliens. Sounds like the name of a comedian's comedy special. That's been some of the show today. I don't know what happened the final 3 minutes of the segment, last segment. I just blacked out. I don't know where that conversation went.
I don't know why men get so uncomfortable in talking about skin
care. That's so true.
You know, I'm not uncomfortable. I'm just
you seem deeply uncomfortable.
Why are we talking about this?
Facial cream.
It's important. That's why we're talking about it.
I use the Neutrogena face wash. I said that.
See?
That's nice.
You guys can blame it on me. I'm the odd one out here. It's my first time doing this show. I bring this weird energy. I get it.
It's my first week too, Nate.
Is this the first time you worked on the show?
Me and Rami did one like 6 months ago.
Yeah, I was flying solo that day.
That was my first
just me and Nate.
Yeah.
Memorable?
Oh, it was memorable, yeah.
We had a good old time.
Yeah.
We had a good
I remembered
old time.
It.
All right, let's get to the Eagles defense versus this Niners offense and Brock Purdy, of course, NFC Championship game coming up on Sunday. And for the Niners, second straight NFC Championship game. We all know how last year's ended, unfortunately. The tart drop ended all dreams of a Super Bowl visit. And here we are again. And, you know, one of the storylines for sure this week, Rami, has been Brock Purdy playing on the road.
I haven't noticed. I haven't heard anything about that guy.
No.
Is he the quarterback?
Yes.
The 49ers?
Yes.
Just making sure.
The idea that he's playing on the road this week, and he's playing at Philly, which could be pretty hostile, as we know. Here was George Kittle talking about his young quarterback earlier this week.
From what I've gotten from Purdy, like, ever since I met him as a rookie, so like 8 months ago when he first showed up at OTAs, you know, being now that I'm in year six, I try to build a relationship with rookies, but I always try to I just try to chirp at them just a little bit here and there to see what their mindset's like. Are they going to shrivel up into a little ball, or are they going to throw something back at me? And Purdy from day one just right back at me, and I was like, all right, like, you've got something to you. I respect the hell out of it. Let's see where this goes. Like, you know, you've got a good foundation. Let's see where this goes. And
all right, so this is interesting to me because we've been talking about Brock Purdy on the road just through the Brock Purdy lens. But, Rami, the Niners on the road, they haven't been great this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look, they lost to the Broncos on the road. They lost to the Bears on the road. They lost to the Falcons by two touchdowns on the road.
I don't really count the Bears, do you?
That's first game of the year.
First game of the year, the tsunami.
They needed overtime to beat the Raiders in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you look at some of those home games, it's not like the Niners have just gone on the road and taken care of business.
And Purdy himself has only played two actual road games.
Yeah, against the Raiders. Again, that was an overtime game, and the Raiders defense stunk. And it's not even an away game, really.
49ers fans travel well.
It's probably 60-40 Niners fans that day. And then, you know, they also played against Seattle, and Seattle's defense isn't very good.
Seattle's pretty loud, though. Like, when you talk about crowd noise and hostile environments, Seattle's a pretty loud place to play.
So, look, the biggest thing, though, we could talk about being on the road and how that's going to affect somebody. Purdy has shown some good poise. We'll see if that kind of gets into his head. I look at this on the field. I look at this X's and O's. And Philadelphia's pass rush, Rami, is redonkulous. They had 70 sacks this year. 70 sacks. And Bill Barnwell wrote about this during the week. Hassan Reddick, Josh Sweat, they racked up 1.5 sacks apiece last weekend. Philadelphia took Daniel Jones down 5 times, so 5 sacks. They pressured Jones. This Philly defensive front pressured Daniel Jones on almost 44% of his dropbacks, which is a crazy, crazy number. Barnwell wrote, the Eagles also stayed disciplined in their rushing lanes, kept Jones in the pocket. They limited his ability to scramble. And no matter how you feel about Daniel Jones, it's a fact that that dude is really athletic and he can run with the football. But Philly was able to get tons of pressure on him and keep him kind of bottled up.
Yeah.
They didn't allow him to break, contain, and roll out and expand and extend plays and be able to run. You know, 1 week after Daniel Jones looked like Michael Vick against the Vikings, which I think says more about the Vikings than it did about Jones, Jones had 24 rushing yards on 6 attempts. That defensive front, Rami, that pass rush, that D-line for Philly, that to me is priority number one for this Niners offense. You got to make sure you can take care of that.
And I talked in the last hour when we were looking at the Eagles offense versus the 49ers defense, that all over the field in this thing, you have matchups of strength on strength, any movable objects against unstoppable forces. And you pointed out the 70 sacks this season, 15 more than any other defense, 5 against the Giants on Saturday. Brock Purdy's only been sacked 11 times in his 7 starts and only 3 times
That's crazy.
In the 2 playoff games. So yeah. The 49ers have done just as good a job, along with Brock Purdy's feet and mobility and his ability to escape some pass rushes, have done just as good a job of protecting the quarterback as the Eagles have done of going after quarterbacks. Another place where you have a strength on strength. 49ers, number one in pass DVOA under Brock Purdy. Guess who's the number one pass defense?
Philly.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
The one place I found matchups that were in the Eagles' favor when we were talking about their offense versus the 49ers' defense, the one place where it's a 49ers' strength versus an Eagles' weakness is they've given up some rushing yards this
yes.
season. Ten times teams have gone for 120. Actually, individual rushers have gone for 120 yards or more against this Eagles team. So we talked about the health of CMC and of Elijah Mitchell in the first hour. I think that's going to play a huge part in this game. How much of CMC can you get? How much of Elijah Mitchell can you get? Because you're going to have to run the ball successfully against Philadelphia, because A, that's the one thing you seemingly can do against them, but B, and we've seen this with the 49ers, you can soften them up with that run, and that opens up the play action. That makes things easier for Brock Purdy. They can't pin their ears back and rush the rookie to the degree and with the ferocity that they'd like to and with the frequency that they'd like to. It's going to be
ferocity and frequency, alliteration. I like
that. It's imperative that they exploit that mismatch and are able to run the football in this game. That's the only way that they win.
Yeah, Ted Wynn at The Athletic, if you want to read a really good article, it's long, but if you want to check it out before the game on Sunday, I would suggest it. He wrote about the Niners' run scheme and the fact that they have that outside zone run game. And when he pointed to the Eagles' third worst game by rushing success rate, since week 11 was against the Packers, who run a very similar scheme, obviously, to the Niners. So, you know, there is, I think, some openings to run the football against the Eagles front. I wonder, as we talked about and you just mentioned, we started the show with Run CMC and Elijah Mitchell and how healthy those guys are. A gigantic question for this offense. One more thing I would say, like we talk about the pass rush and we talk about how good the front has been for Philly against the passing game. It's not just the front. Philly has 2 really good corners. Bradberry and Slay have both played very good football. So Debo and Ayuk are also going to have their hands full this weekend because those 2 corners can man you up. They can play you straight up, and they're tough. So it's a very interesting battle, and I think Vegas is dead on by having this game under 3 points. And like you've said, Rami, a number of times during the show today, with different statistics, it is strength versus strength.
Yeah, and I love those kinds of matchups, man. Those usually make for the best football games. I'm looking forward to this one. So can I give you a Brock Purdy statistic? I know you're tired of this guy, but can I just give you one Brock Purdy statistic?
Sure.
Do you realize Nick Cattles, and I know you hate him, but he's delivered the highest passer rating in post-merger NFL history with any rookie of at least 200 pass attempts.
This is not a Brock Purdy thing.
He's one win away from becoming the first rookie to ever start a Super Bowl.
Passer rating is like...
Oh, boy.
No, it's a little fugazi.
Why do you got to shoot holes in every number that makes Brock Purdy look like a great quarterback? Dude, his passer rating
His passer rating, like, last week in the first half was pretty decent. And he did, like, nothing. Passer rating is... If you don't turn the ball over, your passer rating is going to be good.
Why do you hate Brock Purdy?
For the most part. That's why Aaron Rodgers, I've told you this story. Aaron Rodgers knows the exact number of his passer rating. If you asked him, what is your passer rating?
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that.
He knows it. And that's
very image conscious. Very legacy conscious.
But it impacts the way he plays. That's why he doesn't take as many risks as people want him to take. Because he knows that interceptions will lower his passer rating. He is very cognizant of that.
And he also... Until recently, he went out of his way to be the anti-Favre in every way.
Yes.
In every way possible. And, of course, one of the things Brett Favre was known for, besides stealing money from charities, was throwing a lot of interceptions. And Aaron Rodgers does not want that on his legacy or his track record.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Have you seen the Real Sports thing? I only saw, like, the 2.5-minute clip on Real Sports.
No.
On HBO? Bad. Bad person.
All guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda is your one-stop Honda shop. Phone number, we want your thoughts on this Niners-Eagles game. If you have them, 1-800-920-1140. Also text us, 916-339-1140. YouTube always popping, youtube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. Swing on by, give us a thumbs up. The more thumbs up we get, the more likes, the more eyeballs. Get to check out the content, and the bigger the channel gets. So please give us a thumbs up, and also... If you don't mind, subscribe. That would also help an awful lot. And we'll continue to talk about the Eagles and Niners and get your reaction. Also coming up in 90 seconds, does the tight Western Conference have you nervous about the Kings?
Cattles and Robbie. Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports.
I want to make Nate uncomfortable.
Impossible.
He said impossible.
No, that's not true. I'm always uncomfortable.
Happy Friday, everybody. We'll get into the tight Western Conference here in the Kings and whether or not that makes you a little bit nervous about where they are as the three seed, maybe not as solidified as past three seeds have been. I heard Deuce on Deuce and Mo yesterday kind of go into a little bit of a... I don't know if I want to say rant, but he went into the idea of the three seed and why, you know, it's not as safe as it sounds. So we'll get into the tight Western Conference and whether or not you're nervous, but just want to take a look at some of the reaction to this Niners-Eagles game coming up on the YouTube channel. Cheesy A talking about the cornerback duo that I mentioned in Philadelphia with Bradbury and Slay, and Cheesy A says arguably the best corner duo in the NFL. Yeah, they're really, really good. TCG.
That's probably the one area where their defense is better than the Niners' defense. Like, if you look at the front four, if you look at the linebackers, 49ers
have the
edge.
Fantastic on the outside.
The cornerbacks, I think that the Eagles have the edge there.
TCG says, unfortunately, Shanahan has been passing early to open up the run lately. I agree they need to open up running heavy and using quick passes to get into rhythm. Yeah, I think you have some opportunity here against this Philly run defense. And I'm interested to see how Kyle calls this game, and I'm interested to see how much CMC is involved early.
Mm-hmm.
That'll give us a good idea how healthy CMC is. Like, if he's involved early and often in the run game and he's getting his touches, then you should feel pretty confident that he is healthy. We'll just see, because last week he kept stretching that calf, and as I've said a couple times on the show today, and I'll stand by this, I don't believe anybody come playoff time. They're all full of
injuries.
Yeah, they're all full of it.
It could go. It could be the other way though. That they're putting all this out there to sort of play possum.
Like, I don't think. So. Yeah, but he's not. He's not on the injury report right now.
True.
So,
but they know. They know this stuff is out there. They read headlines. They hear what's going on.
So we'll see what happens.
Counter leak. You know.
This phone thing drives me nuts. I know Mike is on hold, but I have no idea what he wants to talk about. The screen does not show me much of anything.
Well, Mike just wants to talk about the NFC Championship game, and I assume the Niners.
Well, let's go to Mike.
All right, here's Mike.
Hi, Mike.
And talk about the NFC Championship
game.
Hey, Mike.
What do you want to talk about?
Hey, first off, let's talk about the NFC Championship game. And, you know, I think it comes down to a few X factors, if you guys want to talk about that. One for me would be my guy, Trent Williams, right? And on top of that, I like to see how we have a dual threat running backs with McCaffrey. And I think my guy, Elijah Mitchell, is going to have a great game. And the last X factor is turnovers. So whoever turns the ball over the most, I think is going to win this game. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, we thank you for the call, Mike. We appreciate you and your time. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Spoiling all my stuff.
Yeah, turnovers.
Spoiling all my stuff.
I mean, turnovers are huge. I know we never got to this yesterday, Rami, and I think it's the perfect opening to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking to me yesterday about Purdy not having any interceptions the last few games, and the question is he due for one or two this weekend?
I mean, his streak of attempts without an interception is literally, I think, four times the next closest guy in terms of going through the playoffs without an interception. He's lapping the field when you talk about his attempts per interception right now in his first playoff appearance. I think he has 49 completions without an interception.
And that pass rush might, you know, we'll see.
They might have something to say.
He
about
looked
that.
A little shaky last weekend against the rush. Looked a little shaky. All right, let's get to the Western Conference here in the Kings. Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports on this Friday.
Friday!
The West is bananas, Rami. The Kings are 3.5 games back of the 2 seed. They're 3.5 games ahead of the 7 seed. So not a lot of leeway here. And John Hollinger wrote about this in The Athletic. He said, are we going to get some clarity in the Western Conference at any point? Or do we already have it? And the answer is that everyone is just average. The conference enters the weekend in an unprecedented muddle with only 4 games separating 3rd place from 13th in the win column. So there's another one. Kings are only 4 games separated from the 13th team in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Only 1 game separates 7th place and 12th. The difference between hosting a first-round playoff series and winding up out of the play-in tournament isn't much more than a bad weekend. Take a look at the latest 538 projections. 11 teams in the West project to finish between 38 and 45 wins. Only 2 games project to separate 4th and 9th. Meanwhile, ESPN's BPI has 10 teams projected to win between 40 and 45. He writes, we have ourselves a giant muddle in the middle. That make you nervous about the Kings' playoff hopes?
No, not even really a little bit, Nick. For a couple of reasons. One, I'll start with like the intangible reason. I don't have a lifetime of trauma as a Kings fan. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
I don't have those hard memories and all these years of futility and year in and year out having my heart broken or just flat out disappointment in what the franchise is for that can affect you. That can affect how you feel about your franchise and their prospects moving forward. But also, I brought this up to you before. I looked up teams that were the 3 seed in late January, and in the last 20 years, you've had 2 of them that dropped into the play-in tournament or what is now the play-in tournament. And you've had 1 in the Bulls in a season of total chaos. The last year under Tom Thibodeau,
yep.
Derrick Rose's second knee injury, Jimmy Butler literally fighting people in the locker room. That's the only team that was the 3 seed in late January and fell out.
Jimmy Butler is an experience,
was
man.
They fell out of the playoff picture altogether. That's the only one in the last 20 years. And a lot of people might look at this and go, well, yeah, but look at what Nick just said. Look how tight the wet. This is different than most years. And that's true. That's fair. That's accurate. But I don't think anything about what we've seen from the Kings to this point, Nick, is fluky or that they have a really bad, long, bad stretch in them. You realize they haven't lost more than 4 games in a row this year, and that's only happened twice. And other than that, it's like 1 or 2 losses here, 1 or 2 losses there. I think that says something to you about the level and the quality of basketball that they're playing, that you're not going to see them struggle for long stretches over the course of this season. I think, and I keep saying this, they only get better as the season goes on.
I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, when you look at the numbers, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Analytically, like when you look at this team, analytically, if you take all of the emotion out, all of the history, just look analytically at this basketball team. They are one of the better teams in the NBA. They are one of the better teams in the Western Conference. So I understand seeing the schedule and the standings and, oh, it's muddled. But analytically, this team is pretty clean. Even defensively, if you look at it, they have them like 17th in defensive efficiency, which is better than their defensive rating. And their offense, I think we all agree, is pretty legit. There's no doubt. So I would trust in Monty to make a move or two before the trade deadline to help this basketball team. I think that will happen. And who's clearly better? Yeah, sure, there might be a couple teams that make a jump, right? Golden State might make a jump. Who knows what happens with the Lakers if AD is able to stay healthy, but does anybody believe that's going to happen? The Clippers have won, you know, four or five games in a row. They're making a little bit of a charge. They're dangerous. I don't think the Mavs have enough, aside from Luka right now, to be a top three seed.
Yeah,
so
I don't look around the West and see a lot of threats of teams that are, you know, gunning for the Kings and the upper half of the Western Conference. I just don't, man. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't see many that would scare the crap out of me. It is 4:24 on this Friday. Time check is brought to you by Coastside Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough remedies for men. Does the muddled Western Conference have you nervous about the Kings' chances of making the playoffs, even though they are the 3 seed right now? Want your thoughts. Kings fans, give us a call. Send us a text. 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. You can also check us out, youtube.com/SacktownSports1140. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It helps us an awful lot. Coming up is America rooting for the 49ers.
Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports. Cattles and Robbie.
Cattles and Robbie. Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports.
So I left the studio when we went to break.
Mic check, yes.
And I saw Nate leaving the production studio. He was just walking down the hallway. And I said, Nate, you had enough? You done? He said, yep.
He
said, go home for the day? He said, yep. I said, well, thanks for the 90 minutes of help.
We drove him out?
Thinking that it was still a three-hour show.
Well, it was more than 90 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of pre-work that
goes
into
this. Look, my brain
show
is still like 3 to 6.
150
minutes. And I'm his twin, by the way.
A lot of pre-work. Do you get that kind of pre-work with Carmichael Dave?
Well, yeah, you got to be here at 4:30 in the morning. Yeah, so you got
to... No one likes that.
You got to do stuff with the weather reports. And Dave needs some audio, too, so there's definitely some work to do in the morning. Mm.
Does it stress you out more to work in the morning than it does here with us in the afternoon?
I kind of black out in the morning. I'm like in that morning haze.
I would, too. If I had to deal with Dave, I'd black out.
I've done morning shows, and the first 2 hours are always, like, I'm driving home, and I'm like, where do we even do the first half of the show?
I'm always asking Jason where I'm at.
I don't even know. I don't even remember what I just did.
You really do black out like
it's
the
too
first
early
half of the show?
Too early in the day for me. Like, I'm not that I'm not there.
Hold on.
Yes. What?
It's too early in the day. We start at 2.
No. I'm saying when I did a morning show.
Oh, all right.
I've done a morning show, and the first 2 hours are
blurred. Oh, yeah. Now, I thought you were talking about this show. I was going to say, wait a minute.
2 in the afternoon is just too early in the day, man.
What's in that coffee cup, Rami?
Yeah, when you work the morning show, it's rough. I've filled in a couple times when I worked in Boston. And that was on, like, TV, oof, which is even, like, worse.
I wonder why anybody gets up that early.
Trying to keep your eyes open.
Like, there shouldn't be anybody for me to even talk to at 5 a.m. You know what I mean?
True.
Well, you should all be asleep.
There are people, Rami. There are people
out there. Old
people. Waiting to hear your voice.
You're sick.
All right, before we get to the Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy history, and whether or not the 49ers are America's team, let's jump to Rich. Rich wants to talk about Niners-Eagles. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Rich.
So after I researched everything, I was trying to give myself hope. I'm a Niner fan because we're on our third-string corners, and besides Kavarius Ward. But what I found out is the Eagles scored all their points – in one quarter in 13 games straight. All their points are, like, in one quarter, and, like, all defenses shut them out for almost three quarters.
Is it the same quarter? Like, is it the second quarter every time? The third? What is it? Is it just one random quarter?
You're right on it. It's bouncing back and forth to second, third quarter. And what's crazy is that they're using three running backs and Jalen Hurts to run. – It seems like they're running the whole quarter. because all the running backs have more TDs than the receivers, it seems like. I think the corners are suspect. They had a little easier schedule than the Niners. You had Detroit score 38 points and almost beat them. Cardinals almost beat them. We just got Eric Armstead back the eighth week or tenth week. That's when we started really cracking down. And then I'm giving props to these corners right now because we went 12 straight games on a win. And so that gives me more confidence. I think Niners got this game if they stop the rushing.
All right, Rich, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate your thoughts, my man, and thanks for listening to the show. It's not every game like Rich might have been implying or it came across that it's like one quarter every game. But when you do look at it, I'll just run through a couple of them early in the season, especially the Eagles at the Lions. Eagles scored 24 of their 38 points in the second quarter, and then they scored 14 points in the third quarter. No points in the first or fourth quarter. Against the Vikings, they scored 7 points in the first, 17 in the second, and then did not score in the second half. They played the Commanders. They scored all 24 of the points in the second quarter. So what I would say is, and against the Jaguars, they scored 20 of their 29 points in the second quarter. So it does, you know, when you look at how they've scored, it seems like, I wouldn't say like it's only one quarter, but it does seem when they score a lot of points, it's kind of like one big quarter. So maybe you try to
come in bunches.
Yeah, you want to stay away from like the one big quarter. But there were other games like, you know, against the Texans, touchdown in the first, second, and third quarters, and then they had 8 points in the fourth quarter. So, you know, it's not like they've only been able to score in one quarter each game.
Right.
But they have had some explosive quarters. So try to limit the, you know,
also
big quarter. Don't lose, you know, your mind in like the third quarter and let them score 14 to 21 points.
Let's say that the Eagles do put up, you know, 10, 17 points quick. Just know that that's kind of par for the course. Maybe don't freak out. Don't panic. There'll be time for the 49ers to come back.
Maybe. Maybe there would be time. A couple quick notes.
To enjoy the game on Sunday.
Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, a couple quick notes here. Last time they played against each other, 2019, Oklahoma, Iowa State, Big 12 game.
Remember that one.
Game was not settled until a late two-point conversion by Purdy was intercepted with 24 seconds left. The final score of that game was 42-41. Jalen Hurts was the winning quarterback. Purdy threw for 5 touchdowns. He also ran for a touchdown. Hurts, he threw for 273 and 3 touchdowns, and he ran for 2 touchdowns. So in that game, the last time these two guys played against each other, Purdy had 6 total touchdowns and Hurts had 5 total touchdowns. I don't see that happening on Sunday, but it's an interesting note. Another note on the quarterbacks, Rami. Purdy and Hurts, they will become the first pair of starting quarterbacks in a conference championship game under the age of 25. They will have the lowest combined age for a pair of starting quarterbacks ever in a conference championship. So this is the youngest combined age for starting quarterbacks ever in NFL history in a conference championship game. Purdy is 23. Hurts is 24.
Hurts is still only 24, yeah. Huh? Feels like he's been – is this his third year in the league?
Yes.
Wow.
I imagine for the Super Bowl then, no matter who goes, it'll be the youngest two guys, right?
Yeah, wasn't it? Didn't you tell me, Nick, earlier this week, Patrick Mahomes is like the old man of the quarterbacks left in the playoffs right now at 27?
He was the oldest quarterback in the AFC postseason this year.
Wow. In the whole AFC postseason, not just of the 4 remaining teams?
I believe so, yes.
Wow.
At 27 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, it's turned. You know, Roethlisberger gone, obviously. The Manning's gone, and you've had some older quarterbacks bid adieu, and that will also be the case,
Tom Brady,
I guess, when Brady retires at 50. But when you've got, you know, Rodgers almost on his way out.
Rodgers cooked, Brady cooked.
So a lot of young franchise quarterbacks. All right, when I look at this team, the Niners, I wonder if, you know, are they the rooting favorites, Rami, for NFL fans? There was this Twitter info map, and I heard Dave talk about it this morning, where it showed that only 2 states are rooting for the Niners.
One being California.
Of course.
Yes.
So do you think the Niners... Do you think that's fair? Do you think the Niners are? Because to me, I think the Niners are the rooting favorites this weekend for, you know, the vast majority of football fans. Not fans that have a horse in the race, so to speak.
Sure.
But I think the Brock Purdy, Cinderella story, third string quarterback, You look at Burrow, Mahomes, Hurts is, you know, in the MVP conversation. I think sports fans, we've seen it over and over and over again, especially in March Madness, they love a good Cinderella. I think if you were to poll people in like a popular vote, so to speak, not just go by state, but, you know, if you just go person by person, I would imagine that most people, just me thinking, would be voting and rooting for the Niners over the other three.
I'm looking at this map right now, and what's interesting to me is, as you pointed out, only two states are rooting for San Francisco, according to this data. I don't know. I can't tell because things...
What's the other one besides California?
You're testing my...
Oregon.
My jazz. Is that Oregon, okay. Just north of...
I guess that makes sense.
All right. But the Eagles, and again, it's hard to tell.
Hold on. You really didn't know Oregon was right above us?
Shut up. The Northeast, is, and again, I'm terrible at geography.
You told me you're going to Seattle in a couple of weeks.
That's in Washington, right?
I know, but you're like going into that direction. You're flying through Oregon. You didn't look at this?
Notice I had to confirm. That's in Washington,
Emily set
right? The
flights and stuff, didn't she?
But only three or four states, the map is small, and I can't tell like how many in the Northeast are rooting for the Eagles. So almost the entire country is rooting for the two AFC teams when you look at it. And I think what that is, Nick, the way that I make sense of this, because you're right, like they have the underdog story in Brock Purdy. The way I make sense of it is, as much as people do love an underdog and the unlikely hero, quarterbacks, chicks dig the long ball, right? Quarterbacks and high-flying offenses are sexy. And so I think a lot of people are rooting for Mahomes or are rooting for Burrow in this thing more than they are the underdog in Purdy. And also, I still think that there's a little bit of, you know, and even though it's been a while since they've won a Super Bowl, the 49ers have had enough success. You know what I mean? There are a lot of football fans out there, Nick, that are in the same age range as you and me, or even a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger, that remember glory days for the 49ers of winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl. And it's like, yeah, they've had their fun. You know, they've had enough success.
Enough's enough.
It's hard to look at the 49ers as like the underdog story when
right.
you look at their history
right.
and how much postseason success that they've had.
That's fair. That's a fair take. What is the most overlooked aspect of Brock Purdy's success? I will tell you that next.
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sactown Sports.
What is the most overlooked aspect of Brock Purdy's success? We'll tell you about that. Also, we have over-unders to cover as well. But let's go to Ray, who wants to talk Niners-Eagles. Hey, Ray.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a Niner fan, big-time Niner fan. All the way back to the catch. But, I mean, when I hear people say, you know, if Purdy does this or that, he's automatically the starter next year, I don't agree. I think that it should be an open competition, and, you know, I think competition makes people better. And I think Purdy, if he, you know, is like I think he is, he's going to welcome that. And you keep both guys, and you end up with your starter and your backup, but make them earn it. You know, don't just award it just because of what's happening this year.
Ray, let me ask you. So even if they get to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, you still want to see open competition?
Why not? I mean, if he's better than Lance, he's better. But what if Lance is better than him?
All right, fair enough. Thanks, Ray, for the phone call. We appreciate you listening, and enjoy the game on Sunday.
I think there is a discussion to be had this offseason, man. No matter how this season ends, I think there is discussion to be had this offseason. Got it all in the notes, Nick, for whenever and however this season
should end. Oh, you got it in the chamber.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I got it locked in the chamber.
Look at this guy. Got it locked in the chamber.
There are questions to be asked. There are discussions to be had. And I think knowing – after the short time that I've had here and what I know about the 49ers organization, they're going to ask all those questions and have all those conversations as well. I mean, they've agonized over the quarterback position for years now, Nick. I don't think that stops this offseason. And they just, we got our guy. That's it. We're all set.
And this feeds into the whole, you know, Purdy narrative versus the team, right? Like, how much is Purdy responsible? This is the same game that a lot of people played with Jimmy G. It's very, very, very similar. Mm-hmm. And I think they're mostly similar quarterbacks, frankly. You know, lots of things, and this is not the takeaway from Purdy. Again, you know, he hasn't turned the ball over. He's played well. He's done what he's been asked, which is really all you need in a playoff run from him. But, you know, the defense, is huge, huge factor in the success of this team. The talent around Brock Purdy. You know, we talked about this earlier in the week, Rami, the idea of like, all right, well, you know, Brock Purdy, he probably would not be doing this with other teams. He might not even be in this spot with other teams, right? Like the idea of the yards after the catch and how this scheme is and the run game and the defense, it all marries together to take pressure off the quarterback. The competition, it's not like he's played a bunch of like unbelievably tough defenses. Dallas was the best defense that he's played against, and he wasn't great last week. They got by, but he wasn't great. Playing home an awful lot. He's only played what I would say one road game, because the Vegas game, you can throw that out.
You know, they've only been
in Seattle.
They haven't been an underdog since week 8 when they beat the Rams.
That's what I mean. Like that, they have not had.
They've been favored to win all these games.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's not with Purdy. With Vegas Purdy. Knowing that Purdy
right.
is the
with
quarterback.
With Brock Purdy at quarterback.
So there's one more point though that we haven't hit on this show, and it's actually a pretty telling aspect of the success that the Niners have had.
Or a Purdy telling aspect.
I like what you did there. Special teams. Special. Mike Sando wrote about this in The Athletic this week. Since Purdy took over, the Niners' offense has carried the team against the Raiders and Seahawks, who are statistically poor on defense. Again, that's not me talking. That's Mike Sando. He agrees with me. The Niners' defense special teams disproportionately propelled San Francisco in the other games. The Niners, since Purdy took over in Week 13, have started 22 drives in opponent territory. 22 drives in the opponent's territory. That's according to True Media. Jacksonville is second.
That's a crazy number, man.
Jacksonville is second with 13.
That's even crazier. The Niners, when you put it in that perspective.
The Niners, I've got more. The Niners have started in the opposition's territory 22 times with Brock Purdy as quarterback.
That's thanks to your defense and special teams.
Second best is Jacksonville with 13. Philadelphia followed Jacksonville with 12. Now, there's going to be some numbers, but try to absorb this. The Niners' average starting field position during the eight-game stretch, their average starting field position during that eight-game stretch is 3.2 yards better than the next best team. And that might not sound huge, but it is. Trust me. It is almost 8 yards better than the league average.
Ooh.
It's more than 10 yards better than the worst teams. San Francisco's average drive start. This is amazing. So, since Brock Purdy's been quarterback, the average drive start for the Niners.
Can I guess?
What?
32 yard line?
No, it's not yard line. It's ranking.
Oh, ranking. Okay.
Their drive start, right? With Purdy as quarterback, their average drive start ranks 11th out of 734 teams' average drive starts from week 13 through the divisional round of every season since 2000. So since 2000, you can take all of the teams that have made the playoffs, you can do all that stuff, right? And from week 13 to the championship game, the Niners have had the 11th best field position since 2000.
Of all those teams.
Of all those teams.
So you're talking
out of 734.
I was about to try and do that math. Thank you for saving me that trouble.
730. This is the field position. Think last week.
That's last week.
Dallas with the two turnovers, right?
Yep.
So what that means is, Rami, like, we know what it means on its base, but when you think about it kind of deeply, when you think about how that changes the offense. First of all, when you have great field position, you're going to make less mistakes because you have less field to drive. You don't have to put together 10 play drives, 11 play drives, 12 play drives. And I think when you combine the field position that the Niners have had since Purdy took over and how they just thrive on yards after the catch.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had great field position where it's literally like 3-4 plays. You're inside the 10-yard line.
I don't think it's just Purdy, Nick. What you're talking about is how all that stuff puts Purdy and the offense in a position to succeed.
Yes.
I think all the field position and everything that you're talking about right now and how good a defense a quarterback has to help him and the old Maklouf theorem, the more points you score, the less points you need to score to unless the more points you can allow and still win games and vice versa. It's something we don't talk about enough or consider enough when we talk about quarterbacks in general. You know what I mean? And we just want to count rings or whatever the case might be. What kind of team these guys play for, what kind of position they're being put in to succeed, not just their offensive coordinator or their head coach or what kind of receivers they have to throw to, but the whole complete picture and what kind of position their team is putting them in time and time again. And Purdy, he's gotten a lot of help in a lot of ways.
It's so weird. We'll get to over-unders in a minute. It's the same kind of stuff that happened with, like, Jimmy G. You know, it really is, where I see people in the chat saying, like, you know, our guy Cheesy A saying, oh, Brock can win the Super Bowl, throw for 4 touchdowns and 0 picks, and people will still be like, but that D and the weapons.
I think it's any – I just said it's any quarterback.
Like, take emotion out of it. I know it's very difficult because you're a Niners fan. Take emotion out of it. When I talk about Brock Purdy, I am not saying anything that is untrue.
I hate
Brock Purdy. You do not help me in any of this when you keep saying that. When people jump in and they honestly believe I hate Brock Purdy. Like, take emotion out of it. Like, yak is gigantic. Like, when you throw an 8-yard slant route to Debo behind him and he catches it and goes for 74 yards, that's not Brock Purdy. Okay? Like, I get frustrated when people, like, I'm not telling you anything that is not the truth. I just gave you numbers. The fact is the Niners have had terrific field position with Purdy as quarterback. Any quarterback with less field to drive is going to be more successful, folks. Quarterback X for Team Y still stands. This offense is predicated on yak and run game. It's been that way since Kyle Shanahan has been here. So I'm not telling you anything that is not true. Take emotion out of it and just look at the team and how they scheme and what they do. Purdy has not turned the ball over. Fantastic. Doesn't mean he hasn't thrown turnover-worthy throws. He has. I've seen him almost hit linebackers 5 times already in the last 3 weeks. Okay,
yeah, he hasn't been as perfect as
he's gotten away with a few. So
you also do hate him. So
the no interception stuff is like... You know, he's gotten away with a few. He's played good, but a lot of this stuff is...
I think every quarterback
schemed
does,
up.
Right?
Like, how many times has he hit wide-open guys? You give him credit for making the throws, but he's an NFL quarterback.
Right.
When you have George Kittle wide open 30 yards downfield, you're going to hit him. Like, you should hit him. When you run a lot of slant routes, you should hit those guys. Those aren't difficult throws to make, is what I'm saying. It's a great story. I hope he wins. Be fantastic. But, you know, people got to slow down.
Megadeth
Or don't slow down.
Megadeth Knight says don't get frustrated now. It's going to be okay.
All right, quickly, the fastest over-unders in the history of over-unders.
All right.
You ready for this?
I am.
Okay.
Do we need music?
I would like some music.
Sure. Okay. Why not? We'll wait for it.
I wasn't going to ask for it because we're short on time.
We'll do this one this time. Let's see what happens.
Okay. I like this. We'll just talk it out. There we go.
Oh.
All right.
Now I'm ready.
All right, quickly. Cincy.
I wasn't ready. Now
Cincy,
I'm ready.
KC, 46.5.
Over.
I love it. Simone.
Over. Over, too.
Over.
Over. San Francisco at Philly, 48.
Under.
Simone jumped on it quick.
Simone jumped the line. Over. I'm going to say over.
Over.
There you have it.
Going to go over.
Oh. Okay.
So there it is.
Thought you'd go under because you hate Brock Purdy.
I gave no thought to that.
That was really fast.
That was super fast.
So we'll get to this. We got to get to this finally. Will the Niners win on Sunday?
Oh.
No spreads, none of that stuff.
Are we going to remove emotion from it?
We are.
All right.
Will the Niners win on Sunday? Our thoughts next.
And Rami.
Sacktown Sports.